Good morning, Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, please. I like music that uplifts Jesus. And we have done that this morning. I'm going to talk to you today about a question everyone must answer. This question today that Pilate asked is of great significance to every person. It is an important question for all of us. It's a very pressing question. It's a question that presses on everyone's heart. It's a question everyone must answer. This question is a very personal question. This is a question that every person must answer for themselves. Everyone here has an answer to this question, but the most important thing is, what is your answer? What is my answer to this question that Pilate asked? Let's begin in Matthew 27, verse 11, and then we'll come back and make some comments. Now Jesus stood before the governor, who was Pilate, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests, the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Verse 15. Now as the feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished, at that time had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, and here's the question, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was raising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." This story here is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What Matthew does here is to give us a summary of the unjust trial of Jesus Christ. To get the full sequence of the trial, what you have to do is go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you fill in details in the trial. But to get us into the context, if you look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 1 and 2, there's a transition here. In verse 1, the Bible tells us of Matthew 27, when morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So what that does there is to make the transition from the religious trial, the Jewish trial, to the Roman trial. As you know, there were two trials that Jesus had to go to. One was the religious trial. And the religious trial, they took him first to Annas, then they took him to Caiaphas, and then back again to Caiaphas. Matthew chapter 27, you make the transition from Caiaphas to Pilate. Pilate was a Roman governor. Now, the reason that Israel had to get these religious leaders had to get Pilate involved is because they did not have the right of capital punishment. They did not have the right to execute anyone, and so the Romans had to crucify Jesus Christ. So therefore they took him to Pilate. He appeared before Pilate. They get into a conversation with each other. Certain things happen, certain things are said. And in this conversation, in this first phase of this trial, this Roman trial, they make accusations against Jesus that were not true. Luke tells us what those accusations were. They accused him of perverting the nation, of being a rebel toward Rome. The second accusation that was false that they made against him was that he told people not to pay taxes to Rome, which was false. And then they made the third accusation against Jesus. He said that he was the king. Now, he did say he was the king, but in John 18, if you read the dialogue between Pilate and Jesus, what Jesus explained to Pilate was this. He said, "I am a king, but not a king like you think. I'm not a king of a military might or a military power or a nation as you think, but my kingdom is invisible. I am a king. It is as you say." During the conversation, what these religious leaders brought up was the fact that Jesus had stirred up people, you know, everywhere. And they said even in Galilee he stirred up people. And so that gave Pilate an idea. And here's what Pilate said. "What I'll do is send him to Herod and let Herod deal with it." So what Pilate did was to send Jesus to Herod. He wanted to get Jesus off his hands. And so when Jesus went before Pilate, the testimony of Scripture is this, that he kept silent before Herod. Jesus did not need to say a word to Herod. His life spoke to his honesty. His life spoke to his character. And so no word was needed before Herod. All Herod wanted Jesus to do was to perform some miracle before him and kind of do a magic trick. That's all Herod's interest was. So what Herod decided to do was to send him back to Pilate. And when he sent him back to Pilate, it was probably around 5 a.m., 6 a.m. on that Friday morning when Jesus Christ would be crucified later that day around 9 a.m. So it's very early Friday morning. They are at the judgment hall in Matthew 27. And so they've had these discussions. Matthew gives us the interlude here where at the same time the trial was going on, Judas was going to go out and hang himself. And then you come to this judgment hall where Pilate is in this final phase with Jesus Christ. And then you have the question that he asked, "What shall I do with Jesus?" This question presses on every person's heart. What shall I do with Jesus? This is a question of the past, and that's what I'm talking about now. Pilate's dilemma is the dilemma that everyone must face. Pilate could not hide from this question. Pilate could not run away from this question. Pilate could not ignore this question. This is a question we cannot ignore. It's a question we cannot run away from. It is a question that determines the eternal destiny of every person that is faced with this question. Amen. That is why it's so important. Now, of course, as you read the story, you find that Pilate really didn't get to the right answer to the question. And so he asked them, he said, "You know, it's a custom that I release to you a person on Passover. Who do you want? Do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas?" Now, the Bible describes Barabbas as a very notorious person. And we don't know what all crimes he committed, but he was a bad guy. It would be like, Bin Laden and Jesus. Who are you going to pick? And so they cried out, "Give us Barabbas." The Bible tells us that there's another interlude here where Pilate's wife had a dream. Now, where did this dream come from? Did this dream come from God, or was it something that she just thought about? Well, we don't know, but anyway, the Bible says she had a dream. And so she goes to Pilate and she says, "Have nothing to do with this man. This man is innocent. The trial of Jesus Christ forever proves his innocence." They made accusation after accusation after accusation against him, and he was innocent. She said, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man." Pilate finally gave his verdict, and here's the word of Scripture: "I find no fault in him." "I find" is a judicial term. It's a term that is still used in courtrooms today when a verdict is reached. "I find no fault in him." Now, the religious trial of Jesus, see, they accused him of blasphemy. But they knew, the religious leaders knew, that that wouldn't hold water in the court of Rome. So they brought all these false accusations against him. And to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, when Pilate said, "Don't you hear what all these people are saying about you? Don't you hear all these accusations that they're yelling?" To fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, the Bible says, "He was led as a sheep before shears, and he opened not his mouth." He did not answer these accusations from the people. So, what Pilate did was this. There was a wash basin there. And this tradition goes all the way back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had people called judges. When a crime was committed, or say a murder happened, and the elders of the city couldn't really find out who committed the crime, then what the elders of the city would do, according to the Old Testament, they would go to a wash basin, wash their hands, and what they were saying is, we can't sell this matter. We're through with it. We really can't find out who did it. So what Pilate did was to go to that wash basin and says, "I wash my hands of Jesus Christ." Now here's what I want you to hear. There's no amount of water on this earth that can wash away all responsibility to Jesus Christ. Amen. "What shall I do with Jesus?" And so Pilate tried, but he couldn't do it. And so in that moment of doing that, trying to ignore the responsibility, trying to wash his hand of the responsibility, really, Pilate was on trial, not Jesus. And that's what you see in this trial. And so he comes to this important question: "What shall I do with Jesus Christ?" There's a great lesson here in this story. And the great lesson here in the story, too, that we can apply to our lives today is simply this. When accusations are made against us that are not true, let's do like Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He told the truth. And he fulfilled the Father's will. And he did exactly what God wanted him to do. You know what I've learned is this in life. If we will take care of our character, God will take care of our reputation. Jesus was falsely accused. All these lies told about him. But the Bible declares, the testimony of Scripture is this, that an innocent man was crucified. For crimes that he did not do, he was the spotless Son of God. Now let's talk about the question right now in the present. What is the question in the present? Well, the question in the past dealt with Pilate. The question in the present deals with all of us. What am I going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Why is this question so important and so significant? Why is it so pressing? Why is it that everyone must answer this question? Here's why. Because of who Jesus Christ was. He was God. Because of what Jesus Christ said. Jesus said, I, being God, that God is the only one who can forgive sin. Thirdly, because of what Jesus Christ did, he went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. And so for us to have a right relationship with God, for us to have forgiveness of sin, then this becomes the question of the present to every person. What shall I do with Jesus? And then, thirdly, what I want to talk about now is the question of the future. There's a poem that I found that I want to share with you. Listen to this. And it addresses this question of the future. Listen to this. Jesus standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday, you will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? See, that's the question of the future. This question here, the answer to this question, determines our eternal destiny. It determines heaven or hell. That's why this is such a significant, important, pressing, personal question that we almost deal with. Pilate's wife wanted to ignore Jesus. Had nothing to do with it. There are people today who think they can just ignore this question. But you can't. Because one day this question will face everyone in judgment when we stand before the Lord. Pilate thought he could wash his hand of responsibility. And there are those today who think they can do the same thing. Judas betrayed him. That was his decision. Peter denied him. That's what he did. The multitude here, what did they do? They hated him. The Bible says they hated him for envy. You know what the envy of their hearts were toward Jesus? Because those religious leaders could not do what Jesus did. They couldn't heal the sick. They couldn't give sight to the blind, like Jeff sang about. They couldn't forgive sin. And so they were envious of Jesus Christ. Because of what he did, who he was, and what he said. That envy was in their heart. But again, it brings us to the question. The question of the future for us is, what's Jesus going to do with me when I stand before him? What will he say to me? Will he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will he say, enter in? What will he say to me? There's a verse that I want to call to your attention, then I'll close, but this verse is, what this verse is, it's Peter's commentary on this trial of Jesus. Now listen to this. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Peter's looking back at the cross. He's looking back at the trial of Jesus, the events that took place before Jesus was crucified that Friday morning. Listen to verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, you know, all the accusations made against him, all the lies and all that. Did not revile in return. He opened not his mouth. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What does that say? He left the results in the hand of the Father. There's a great lesson here for all of us. The great lesson for all of us is this. When things in life are not fair, and this trial is not fair, what do? We commit ourselves to Him who judges righteously. In other words, we leave it in the hands of God. You may think life's not fair to you, and you may be in a situation now where you think life's not fair. What do you do with those situations? The Bible says that we commit it to Him who judges righteously. In other words, we trust God and we do what is right. I'm asking you today, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Him? I'd encourage you to accept Him, to believe in Him, to trust in Him as your Savior. Don't walk away from Jesus. Let's stand for our prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, during this moment of prayer, if you need to make that commitment to Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, do it now. Just in your own heart, in your own way right now, just ask Him to come in your heart, be your Savior. Father, we thank You for Your Word. As we get closer to Easter Sunday, we're thinking about today the events that happened before You were crucified on that cross. Today we've talked about the unjust trial of Jesus Christ. Through this trial, though, what we know from the testimony of Scripture is that Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of God who knew no sin, who did no wrong, a person who was innocent of any accusations. He went to the cross, died on the cross as the spotless Lamb of God for our sins. But Lord, today we just come back to the question. And the question is, what will I do with Jesus? I pray today that during this invitation time, that Your will be done. I pray that as the invitation is given, that we would respond in a way that would glorify You. In Your name we pray. Amen.